This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up at center, coming in as Lowell. He'll take center net.
It was a blast in fabulous Las Vegas, but a disaster on the ice. I am back. Oh, long travel day back from Las Vegas as I take a little trip to go watch the Calgary Flames take on the Vegas Golden Knights at T-Mobile in Vegas. And it was, you know what? It was interesting. It was a lot of fun. It was a little interesting trip, though. The trip started Wednesday night instead of Thursday because we had a lot of fun weather in the area. I had to basically leave a day early to get there because of a blizzard, and it was quite the blizzard, which actually made it kind of touchy if we were going to get back today. But we did, leaving Vegas very, very early this morning, just 2 hours of sleep last night, and now I've stayed up and watched the Calgary Flames drop an important one to the San Jose Sharks tonight. 3-1 final in that one, and I am exhausted. Running on fumes, getting the show done, talking a little Flames hockey. Dallas, Vegas, and San Jose, the road trip. Not a good road trip. Very, very, very unsuccessful road trip for the Flames, and get 2 points out of the possible six. And honestly, the Vegas or the Dallas one kind of in a way stole 2 points. Fun to see the Flames in person. I missed not getting to do that on a regular occasions, but when I do get to watch them, it's a lot of fun. It's a different perspective than watching them on television. You see some things that you don't see when you're watching it on television. So it makes it a little bit of fun. Get down close with the players and see how they do. And, you know, so frustrating to get there and excited to get in Vegas and had a blast leading up to the game. So much fun in that town. There's so many things to do. So many laughs with friends. A lot of fun, but disappointed to see them probably play the worst game. Well, for sure the worst game of the season. It was like the Kings game last week. It was bad. It was really bad. But you can't, you can't always write the script when you go to a game. You know, so much just lack of effort, it almost seemed like, and that's what scared me the most, and difficult to watch at times, but always fun to see your team play live.
Inside Edge Hockey News, bringing you inside the game.
Let's recap the week that was for Calgary Flames hockey and three games to recap since our last episode. The last episode dropped Thursday, and that was a day Calgary was traveling to Dallas. And, you know, Dallas has been kind of a thorn in the side of the Flames as of late. And it's been a long time since the Flames had beaten Dallas and did on Thursday night, 3-2 in a shootout, which in itself was kind of amazing because that's the first Flames shootout win since November of 2017, which is a long, long time, and no one should be proud of that. It's actually David Riddick's first ever shootout win. He was 0-4 leading up to that game. Fun to see him get the shootout win. The Flames, horrendous start, actually. Spotted Dallas 2-0 lead, and which lead was held into the third when Lindholm got his second of the year, and Hanifin followed that up with his second of the year. Not in the game. We go through overtime with no goals. And then in the shootout, Monahan scores a beauty, and Gaudreau undresses Bishop. Flames win in the shootout. Two very, very critical points, and which proved at the time it ended up being the only 2 points they get in the whole on the whole road trip. Flames hopped a plane, headed over to Sin City, Vegas, for a Saturday night hockey night in Canada shootout. And it was a shootout, just with the wrong score. I was at this game, super excited to go. Have some neat pictures I might be posting on social media and stuff of some different things that happened on that trip. And the Flames came out right away. First period, kind of back and forth. Vegas controlled, I would say, for the most part. After one, it was 1-0. Riddick allowed kind of a stinker. Actually, Riddick was not good in this game. Not good at all. Coming off what had been really a good start to the season. Let's hope he can bounce back and get back on track. But Riddick was just not good on Saturday night. And honestly, the Flames didn't help him out in any way at all, allowing some it looked like the Bad News Bears out there for quite a bit of the second period, or latter part of the second period and into the early third. But Calgary jumped right out back in the second period, though, and got up 2-1 with goals from Anderson and Gaudreau, and they came back-to-back. And, you know, the T-Mobile was rocking, and things were going good, and Calgary gets up 2-1, and I think, hey, you know, things are, you know, looking pretty good. Then the floodgates opened after Fleury made just 3 or 4 huge saves and caught some luck on some posts and everything, and after that, things just went haywire for the Flames. Bill Peters, very critical after the game, stating that you will not win in the NHL without work ethic, and work ethic is a problem in Calgary right now. And boy, I couldn't agree more. We just need guys to step up. It shouldn't be guys like Giordano every single night that have to show the way. Calgary moves on over to San Jose October 13th, Sunday night. First back-to-back of the year for the Flames, and they proceed to lose that 3-1. Talbot gets his first start of the year, allows 2 goals in the first 10 minutes. First one, a deflection off of his skate. Not his fault at all, and in no way would I consider that his fault. Second one, yeah, I don't know. Kind of maybe his fault, but not too bad. I didn't think Talbot was too bad. I didn't. I didn't think he was outstanding, but in the second period, he was probably the Flames' best player. Was pretty darn good. Up front, Michael Backlund, by far and away the Flames' best forward on Sunday night. The 3M line was clicking, but for some reason, I don't know if the rest of the fans feel this way. Tkachuk, to me, the last few games has been pretty much non-existent. He was a complete non-factor in Vegas, pretty much a non-factor in Dallas. And he got better as the game went on tonight, but still not real, real high in my charts of being the player that we need Tkachuk to be. Tkachuk is his best when he plays with a chip on his shoulder, you know, and when he gets underneath the opponents. Tonight, I didn't see that. Tonight, it seemed like he was looking for calls again, and I hate when he does that. I hate when he does that. You're just not going to get the calls when you're embellishing them and looking for them. I didn't think it was horrible tonight in that aspect, but I did see it a couple times. Flames on a good note tonight, finally hold a team to less than 30 shots. Scary, but Riddick has faced more shots than any other goalie this year. So if there's a positive, the shot totals tonight did see a decrease. Flames still lose, but we need to pull those shots down. We can't be allowing 30 a night. Just, you're not going to win hockey games doing that. Late in the game, I saw Burns give Johnny Gaudreau a couple slashes multiple times. My question was, where's Lucic? Well, 2 goals late in the game, Lucic can't go in there and take a penalty. So that poses a question. Do we need him? Do we need that? I mean, if he can't do it because we can't afford to take the penalty, what do we do in today's game? Are this type of player relevant anymore? Unfortunately, it's a problem that we're going to be dealing with for a lot of years in Calgary. Is how are we going to manage and deal with the Lucic? How are we going to play him? How are we going to, you know, utilize his talents? Let's talk the Vegas hockey experience next.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
As I said, I just got back from fabulous Las Vegas. Weather was cool, which was kind of nice. It was kind of nice to be able to walk around with, you know, long sleeve shirt on. I enjoy that. I don't like to be hot and sweaty and stuff like that. But anyways, let's talk Vegas hockey experience. My first time to T-Mobile Arena. This was my 16th of the 31 teams. Let's talk a little bit about what hockey and professional sports is like in Vegas and give you my take. I will say one thing. The Golden Knights have done an unbelievably fabulous job of marketing this team. There is Golden Knights merchandise in literally 90% of the stores on the Strip. I'm not joking. It is everywhere. Every single store has Golden Knights stuff. It's fun to see how this town has adopted professional sports. The Raiders are headed there soon. There's Raiders stuff everywhere. That stadium looks amazing. Looks like it's about, I don't know, I'm not a stadium expert, but about a third done probably. Third to a half done. Game night. I arrived to the arena area about 2 hours early to outside tailgating, starting up, played some cornhole, had some drinks, had a good time. Hour and a half prior to the game, they have what's called the March of the Fortress countdown. Everybody kind of starts marching towards the front or arena entrance. There's a large countdown on the outside of the arena. Goal horns go off. They open the doors. You head into the arena. The atmosphere inside the arena is good. It's loud. It's actually in my top three NHL game experiences. I've been to 16. I will get to all of them. I promise. It just may take a little bit of time. Complaints of the game experience. One thing I did not like was it kind of reminded me of Madison Square Garden, where fans kind of forget where they're at, what they're doing. They kind of get lost in the moment or maybe more worried about socializing and drinking beer than their hockey team. Now, by no means am I going to rip Vegas at all. I thought it was pretty darn good. I was actually shocked at the amount of local people that I talked to there. I mean, it's impossible for me to know, you know, what percentage of people were there that were tourists and what percentage were there as season ticket holders. But in a lot, I talked to a lot of people and most of them were all locals who are season ticket holders. All of them very nice, very positive towards me being a Flames fan. And there was a fair number of Calgary Flames fans there, quite a few in attendance, which was really fun to see. I can't say loud when Calgary scored, but definitely a lot of red arena, you know, around the arena after the game and the bars after the game. There was, you know, a lot of Calgary jerseys hanging around, which I'm sure is the fact when almost 70% of the teams come to town. I would say mostly probably more prevalent when the Canadian teams come to town. All in all, positive attitude from the fans towards the opponents. No one gave me a hard time for being a Flames fan. Actually, everybody is pretty supportive. Great in-game presentation. The pregame ceremony show was, I don't know, it was a little long, but not overdone. Pretty darn good experience. I had a lot of fun. Highly recommend Flames fans go down there. Maybe we can finally steal a victory there, because last night did not look good. lots of different reasons. We're going to get into that in the next segment. Let's talk about lack of intensity and line shuffles and things we're going to see.
NHL news, opinions, and controversy.
Bill Peters talked about it last night, and that was intensity and work ethic. And I couldn't agree more. I thought it was horrible. The team probably needed the to be called out. I think we saw a little uptick tonight in the work ethic in San Jose, even though Calgary lost. I thought they looked a lot better. But I also think that the coaching staff does need to develop some kind of routine as far as the lines go. It's hard when you're flipping back and forth for the players, I think. And now I'm not saying a coach or Bill Peters is doing bad or anything like that, but I think you have to develop a routine for the players and get them accustomed to the way things are going to run. I think some serious questions need to be answered about the lines so we can solidify them. First question, I think, has anyone been able to play second line right wing better than Frolik? I know everybody's got their opinions on this topic, and it's actually quite the topic. Lots of people have their opinion. But I think you're hard-pressed to say yes on that. My answer is no. Over a span of time, no one has showed that they've worked as well as Frolik has. I've had my beefs about Frolik. But let's be honest, the 3M line needs to be left alone. Tkachuk, Backlund, and Frolik were the best line on Sunday night. It's not a secret why. They've played together. They feel accustomed together. They were allowed to start the game together tonight and play the whole game together. I'd love to see that line come back to the way it was last year. And I'm not living on past success. I'm living on, honestly, what I believe is the best for the Flames. Bennett showed flashes. I think he probably could be okay on that right side. But we still lack consistency from Bennett. He takes a lot of bad penalties. He's got to move past and mature past that to be a successful top six forward. I don't know that Bennett has proved that he is a top six forward. And I go to bat for this guy all the time. He's actually one of my favorites because I just look at him and I think, oh my gosh, this guy has so much potential. Mangiapane up on there. Now, I know a lot of people love Mangiapane, but quite honestly, he has not impressed me that much this year. What has he done? Has he earned a spot in the top six? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. My suggestion, leave that line alone. Question number two. Is the tough side of Lucic worth the slow lack of success we watch him have nightly? I hated the trade, but I've tried to look at it on the bright side. In some of my previous episodes, I've tried to give my take on the bright side of this. But I'm not lying. I've seen no results this year. Short of what he did in Colorado, I've seen nothing. He's been a detriment to the Flames. He should be a healthy scratch and only used in games where we need that tough factor. And that's not that many. I only pray that that toughness pays off in the playoffs when it means more. It means more. Patrick Maroon type means more. Maroon did nothing during the regular season last year. It was a huge factor in the playoffs because he's that big body down low. Praying that that's what Lucic does for the Flames. For heaven's sakes, we've seen enough of him with Gaudreau and Monahan after shorthanded situations. why do we keep throwing that out there? And we didn't see it tonight on Sunday night, thank goodness, because it's a joke. It hasn't worked. Don't follow being shorthanded with Gaudreau, Monahan, and Lucic. That's silly. Question number three, stop with shuffling the first pair defense. Yes, many of us want Gio alongside Anderson. But we can't have that right now. It's not the time. We need Shillington playing. I like Shillington. I like his development. We need him playing. And for him to play, he needs Anderson next to him, which is fine. That is a fine, fine pairing. But let it be. Let it be. Stone can fill in every fifth game so he stays good. He can fill in if someone's dinged up. Plus, has really Brody been bad? I don't think so. He might have been one of the better players Saturday night in Vegas. Let Brody play with Gio. It's a proven good pairing. Hanifin Hamonic I'd put with probably the top three in the league. They've been the best by far for the Flames this year. And Anderson, Shillington are fine. Let that be.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Now it's time for an interesting segment. On Monday's episode, I always have my Harvey's Doghouse. And what that is when I talk about a Flames player who I think right now is struggling and in the doghouse. And this week's one was an easy one. It was easy. And frustrating because this guy shouldn't be in this position. I've watched him for a few years now. He should not be in this situation. Like Bennett, I've kind of always been on his side. But I'm having a real hard time right now with Mark Jankowski. And obviously the coaching staff is too, because they made him a healthy scratch for Sunday night's game against San Jose. Well, what do you do? He lacks intensity. He did that. Well, not that he was the only one in the Vegas loss. He just doesn't look engaged. He doesn't look happy. He doesn't look engaged. Ran into Bennett on Saturday night, created a turnover where Reeves scored, albeit it was a complete weak one that Riddick let in. But still, he just seems to, you know, I remember in the first period of the Vegas game on Saturday night, he had a shot point blank in the slot, turned and opted to pass. It's like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? You're struggling, dude. What are you doing? Get a shot on net. It was a prime scoring opportunity, and you just passed on it. Just passed on it. This guy's got an opportunity to be the third line center for the Calgary Flames. Hello? What are you doing wasting this? You're a big body. You're good at the puck down low. I don't know. It just blows my mind. He was scratched on Sunday night. I'm interested now to see how he responds. I'm interested to see how he responds. I'm guessing, and this is maybe a little bit bold of a statement, but if he doesn't figure it out and respond with a huge, huge outing, this guy's in trouble. Like, I already think they're shopping him. But this guy's career could be in trouble here. He needs to be a better player for the Calgary Flames. Other guys that, you know, I thought of when I was thinking about Harvey's Doghouse for my Sunday night show, Matthew Tkachuk kind of came onto my radar on this one. I have not been happy with Matthew Tkachuk. We are not getting what we signed up for. When this guy is not engaged in a game and being a little, you know, stirring the pot, he's not as effective of a player. He was pretty much a no-show in Dallas and Vegas. A little bit better in San Jose. But come on, he's got to be better. You're bordering on my doghouse. I hope I'm not talking about you next Sunday night. Fan question of the week. This one's kind of an interesting one. I never had this one before. I get my fan question live. I got it during warm-up Saturday night in Las Vegas from a gentleman I was talking to during warm-ups. A season ticket holder for the Vegas Golden Knights named Jake Stringer. And he asked me a really interesting question. He says, why do you feel that Calgary has never won a game in Vegas? I think he was trying to bait me into the whole casino thing, which is a complete joke because teams aren't putting their players in situations where they're going to be out roaming the strip at 4 a.m. I think it's coincidence. That's my answer. I think it's coincidence. I told him, I said, I think it's coincidence. Calgary struggled against Dallas too lately. You know why we haven't won in Vegas? Because Vegas is damn good in Vegas. That's why we haven't won. And our team hasn't stepped up and given an effort needed. I think it was last year. It was either last year or the year before. Calgary had their mom's trip in Vegas. And I think it took Calgary 11 minutes to get their first shot on net. Well, you're not going to win when you can't get a shot on net. And you're not going to win when you give a 65% effort like we saw Saturday night. The Calgary Flames are better than what we saw. But no, Jake, I don't think it has to do with the whole entertainment thing in Vegas. Professionals are a little different now than, you know, in 1980, maybe the casinos would have been where we saw players hanging out on their day off before the game. But I'm thinking we've moved past that with today's day and age. Game previews. Only one game to preview before our next show, and that is Tuesday, October 15th. Philadelphia heads into Calgary for a battle that, boy, the importance level has really, really went up on this game. Calgary needs a reset. They need to get home now after a tough road trip, and they need to reset. It was a horrendous road trip, not just because they got two of a possible 6 points, but the way they played did not lead me to believe that this team is even close to reaching their potential. Calgary 2-3-1 and fourth in the Pacific as it stands on late Sunday night. Philadelphia 2-0-1, fourth place in the Metro, still have not lost a game. Players to watch in this game: David Riddick is the guy I have penciled as the biggest guy to watch. How will he rebound from that poor Vegas performance? I'm hoping good. This is kind of our first test of the year to see if Riddick is our starter. Now, I'm not trying to put extra pressure, but it is. It's kind of that measuring stick. We've kind of worried about this in the past. When times got tough for David Riddick, did he rise to the occasion? And sadly, he didn't last year. He didn't rise to the occasion like we needed him to. Here's his opportunity. He's played great all year. I've been his number one fan. He's been great all year. Let a stinker on Saturday night. How can he bounce back? For Philadelphia, they got to watch, ironically, their goaltender too. Carter Hart, great start to the season. Some 10 bell saves. Now, he's a young goalie. Is this the wave of the future? Are young goalies breaking in? Are we going to give goalies a chance earlier on like Philadelphia has? I think so. I think we are going to see that more and more frequently. I'm interested to see how he answers the bell on Tuesday night. It's scary. It's really scary that in game 7 of the year, I'm talking as this game being critical for the Flames. Am I jumping the gun? I don't know. Maybe a little bit. But it worries me a little bit of what I've seen this year from the Flames so far. I have not seen consistency. I have not seen the work ethic we need. I'm praying this team isn't one of those teams that thinks they're so good on paper that points will just come. Are the Calgary Flames a playoff team? What needs to happen for us to know the Calgary Flames are a playoff team? Tuesday night, Flyers head to town.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
There's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McGinnis. They've got their sweats on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.